man to give him, well, I think it was a fish supper. And he said, I would pay you for it again. And the man, obviously, he couldn't do that kind of thing. And he didn't. And from then on, he began to sober up. When I say sober up, he began to remember. He began to remember that life at the moment was empty, and true fruitfulness or blessing in life would only come from trusting the Lord. And I simply ask, as I draw this point to a close, this first short point, what are your prospects? Here we have Joseph and his wife, Asenath, a woman who was brought up in darkness, but now she's changed, and she's become Joseph's wife. And we've got Manasseh and Ephraim here, who are her sons, meaning to forget, forgetting what that which has gone before, all of the sin and all of the failure, and Ephraim meaning fruitfulness. What an honor was bestowed upon her. Who knows what God can do with your life? If you will come just as you are and give it to him. There's not just the thought of honor when you think of her transformed life, but we're actually going backwards today. That's down the line for her. There would be that honor of having these sons. But then there is the thought here of immediate acceptance. There's no talk here that in any way Joseph put off accepting this girl as his wife. Now, we know relatively little about her, but she's a big part now of Joseph's life. And as he looks at her as his wife, there are some things which really go without saying. He sees her as one of high value, one of great value. Her name, as I said, Asenath, means a favorite of Nith. Whether that is referring to her physical, to her beauty to look at or not, I can't honestly say. But I know this, that she was certainly found favor with Joseph. And he loves her as his wife. And if you will come and trust the Lord, or if you have trusted him, it's good to remind ourselves often that not only has Christ saved us, but he loves us. He loves us. Over in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 9, it says, I have compared thee, O my love, Christ talking to the church, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariot. He speaks of the church here in glowing terms and wants her to know that he loves her. Now, it refers here to a company of horses. And you may think, well, imagine comparing the church or the bride to an animal. Well, it's not what it seems, because Egyptians' horses were famous, some of you would be aware, and they were very highly, greatly sought after, and they were of very high value. In fact, you can read in 1 Kings that they were valued at about 150 shekels. They were worth an awful lot. Some of them were trained as war horses, and they actually charged into war knowing what they were going into, but there had been cultivated in them a love for that kind of thing. So they were very, very valuable. So when the Lord says here that he's comparing us to the church, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots, he's saying, I see you as great, something of great value. You remember that question this week, if you're discouraged, someone disappoints you, remember that in the eyes of the Lord, you are of great value. Dear unsaved person listening, in the eyes of the Lord, your soul is of great value. And I do trust today, as you consider that, that you will think of what we've just said here, how the Lord places great value upon his people. Now is an opportunity for you to be saved and to live for him. And the Lord will come to you and save you, and then he will give you your own vocation, your own vocation, your own opportunity to make a difference for him. He will equip you, and he will open doors for you and he will provide for you if you will come. And you'll notice here what I'm saying, that this bride was accepted. You will be accepted as you, if you come. Over in Song of Solomon, again, and chapter 6 and verse 10, it says there in Song of Solomon 6 and verse 10, "Who is it, she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners?" What symbolism there is here when the Lord refers to the church again. Who is this? She, who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon? Some people know a great deal about the moon, and some people spend a great deal of time studying the moon because they see in it beauty, but they see in it much more than that. They see in it a great evidence of God's great creation, clear as the sun. We can't say we study it because you're not supposed to look at it, but nonetheless, we know what it does. And then it says, terrible as an army with banners. That doesn't mean you're an awful person. It means you're a useful one. It means you're a useful one. And brings us to Ephesians 6, where we're told there about putting on all the armor of God. So do you get the picture here, how our life, how Aseneth's life was transformed? On down the line, she just a little bit, she would be the mother of Manasseh and Ephraim. To forget was the meaning of one name, and fruitfulness the name of the other. She had a very high honor indeed. And now, when we go back upstream, as it were, a little bit, we see that before that honor came, there was immediate acceptance. And folks, I don't know what your plans are for the rest of 2024, but I know this, that if you will come as a sinner to the Lord, and the Lord may change your plans, he will give you and bring into your life the very best plans. 2 Timothy there, chapter 3 and verse 17, talks there about that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It means matured and equipped. But before that, it shows you how he does that. It is through his word. It says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And it is God's word that helps us as the bride of Christ. When we have come and been accepted by him, it is his word that brings convictions to us if something needs to be adjusted. It is his word that shows us if there's a possibility of temptation or a danger, how there needs to be carefulness. It is his word that shows us in any given circumstances we can live a controlled life for him. I wonder, as you consider this, does it not appeal to you? It was a high honor for Aseneth to be given to Joseph, considering his position on a human level. And folks, it is a very high honor when God comes along to needy men and women in their sin, comes along and speaks to their heart, lifts them up out of the mire of sin, and gives them the prospects that are mirrored here in Aseneth. There was the honor, and for that there had to be the immediate acceptance. But in order for that to happen, her history, this is the third thought, her history had to be hidden. On several occasions, this girl Aseneth is referred to as the daughter of Potipherah. Potipherah was one who officiated at what was called the Temple of the Sun, which was quite near modern-day Cairo. And that's what he was involved in, up to his neck, in false religion. And then she's taken away from all of that. God brings her into union with Joseph. I think it's not difficult to speculate, but I think it's fair to say that her past is hidden. Her past is gone. Certainly Joseph has forgotten her past, and he's accepted her now as his bride. And there may be someone listening today, and you feel that you have some prospects in the future as far as you're concerned regarding your ambitions. Those may be fine of themselves. And at the present time, you feel that things are pretty good for you. But the difficulty that you feel that you have, maybe day in, day out, is dealing with the past. Dealing with the past. The Bible says, God requireth that which is past. Not thought to make all of us think. Every time we've rejected the Savior, every time we have walked away from his word, every time we have said no to his offer of salvation, God requires that. But when we come all of that rebellion and hardness and anti-God, all of that is hidden. Because the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And you think of the globe. You have the east and the west, the one that cannot see the other. God will not remember our sins anymore. He's forgotten, as it were, our past. He's hidden our past history. Sometimes even believers struggle a lot with this. Past. Good to remind ourselves every day, men and women, that we have been made accepted in him. And I want to just mention, in closing, several things here regarding this hidden history. As I said, we don't know a great deal about Aseneth. We know that she was from a dark background with a false religion. And we know that now she's transformed. She's a transformed person. And we know that whatever your situation and mine is, when we come as we are, we're transformed. And you can be transformed today. Transformed because, and if you do come, you will be transformed because purchased. Acts chapter 20. God giving his life's blood. Purchasing his church with his own blood. You'll be purchased. You'll be pardoned. Being sorry, being forgiven is something that sometimes human nature struggles a lot with. And even if someone has even inadvertently wronged me or you, and they come and they say, I'm very sorry about that, sometimes you can struggle with it. Maybe they said something and you've forgiven them for it, but you haven't forgotten it. God is so different. For it says over there in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked or the unsaved forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, the word abundantly there is a key word in this passage because it carries the meaning of to multiply. To multiply. Or to make many. And God, when he pardons you and me, he multiplies that pardon. And all of those sins, even the ones that rise up sometimes, they're all forgiven, men and women, because we are pardoned. And there are people here in the meeting, and your history is hidden as far as your sin is concerned. Because you are purchased, you are pardoned, and you are placed in Christ. Placed in Christ. If you take in your own time and read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and other passages in that book as well, the book of Ephesians gives probably the fullest exposition of what we read in the New Testament of the exalted position of a man or woman who has been saved. And it's all by virtue of our union with Christ. It's all in coming to him. When people looked upon us and then, they would think, well, there is the wife. They wouldn't think, well, there's Potiphar's daughter, the man who was involved in false worship. But they say, there's Joseph's wife. He's second in command now. He's honored. He's revered almost. He's respected. And she's his wife. And folks, God can do far more with your life and my life than we could ever do with it. But it is all by virtue of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in Romans chapter 6, this time, Romans 6 and verse 5 and 6. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin, freed from the bondage of sin. Look at the next verses there. Has to do with identification with the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you need to come. And we cannot force you to do that. Very often out in the world, as we mentioned there, people are slow to forget. But God will hide your history if you will come the way you are as a sinner to him. I wonder, as you have considered with me this morning briefly, this transformed bride. If we look at it the other way now, first of all, her history was hidden. Her history was hidden. And when Joseph looked upon her, he accepted her. And when he accepted her, she was brought to that place of high honor, being the mother of Manasseh and Ephraim. What a transformation in her life. But every believer can say, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. You know, sometimes as we're thinking about people, there are far too many and they haven't been transformed yet. They haven't come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And I hope today that if you are one of them, that you will come. Think of the transformation here of this bride. And think of what God can do for you. And I trust that the Lord will bless his word and these few thoughts to your hearts this morning.